Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Praise the Lord. Dr. Hansen, how are y'all doing out there tonight?
Good. How are you, Shannon?
Hey, doing great. Well, folks, we're happy to be back tonight with Dr. Jonathan Hansen and World Ministries International, based up in Stanwood, Washington. And tonight is a live broadcast that we're doing. It's for the archive Friday, April 19th, 2024. Dr. Hansen, would you like to open up the show in prayer?
Father God, we are grateful that we have the privilege to serve you, to speak the truth. Pray that you bless, dear God, Shannon now in Bali, Indonesia, and our efforts here in the United States as we continue to expand and extend the kingdom of God around the world. Be with us, dear God, as we share tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I do want to welcome all of you that are tuned in to OmegaManRadio.com and Warning television and radio programs. I have two interviews I've done, one with the Dr. Edward Baliki from Kampala, Uganda, East Africa. And we're discussing the church's responsibility. And then apostolic leader, the second one is Dennis Moore from Dallas, Texas, on repentance or judgment. Now let's begin with Dr. Edward Baliki. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, President of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. Please go to my website, worldministries.org. That is worldministries.org, and check us out. We're apostolic, prophetic. We go to governments. God gives the word. We send it. It comes to pass. They invite us to the government. And then we have to represent Jesus Christ faithfully as a true ambassador, not a photo op, but give a word that God is really wanting that leader to hear, whether it's a president, prime minister, or parliament. Eagle Saving Nations, I lead that. That's to get us into the stadiums in country after country around the world, to stop the New World Order, this one world government they're trying to implement right now. They're trying to take away our freedoms and force everybody to come under their control. Only the church can stop it if the church will rise up and have another great awakening. If we can get back to Pentecost, where we move with power and authority instead of fear and intimidation. I have as my guest today, he's from Uganda, Dr. Edward Baliki. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
And where do you live in Uganda?
I basically live in Kampala, the capital city of Uganda. That's where I'm located and that's where I reside.
So Dr. Edward Baliki, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What is your ministry in Kampala in Uganda?
In Kampala in Uganda, I have a number of things that I do and ministries that I oversee. And I am the senior pastor of Shekinah Glory Worship Center that is found in the capital city of Kampala. And the church is in an area called Komamboga in one of the suburbs of Kampala. But from there, we hail and have a number of ministries and churches under the ministry. And we have around 19 churches under the ministry when we spread out into the whole nations. And then other churches that are affiliate with us, that brings us to around 29 churches. I'm also the prime minister of Kampala Central District under the National Fellowship of Born Again Pentecostal Churches of Uganda. And still under the same umbrella, I am the Minister of International Trade and Relations with the Kampala region under the National Fellowship of Born Again Pentecostal Churches. The National Fellowship of Born Again Pentecostal Churches of Uganda has over 30,000 churches in the nation of Uganda. And it is an umbrella that brings together churches, missions, parachurch organizations to be able to do the work of ministry. I am the regional director for Eastern Central Africa with an organization called WILD, that is Wise Intentional Leadership Development, with an aim to equip, empower, engage, expand ministers, you know, by bringing and training and equipping leaders from the youth all the way to the different areas with leadership skills and techniques, but using biblical principles to enhance that. I am the executive director and founder of Ubuntu Family Heritage, a ministry that reaches out to orphans, needy and destitute children, but with the strength of using education and health empowerment as the arm for evangelism. As the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and if he grows, he will not depart from that. So I started schools and are doing schools, provide water and good water sources, and try to help in hygiene. I am a patron to a number of organizations and doing business as well, and also with my family as well.
Very good. You know, the mission of the church, I believe, is to the restoration of the church. I believe it's reconciliation. In other words, we're supposed to restore the church to the mission and method of the way Jesus and the apostles led it. Because we are in a, if we want to say, a backslidden and lukewarm generation where the gospel is being so twisted. Number two, reconciliation between ethnic leaders and churches. I know all over the world, whether you want to call it racism or tribalism, people vote according to their tribe, their race, and not the way we're supposed to vote for the best man or woman that would represent Jesus Christ. We're supposed to revive the church to expand kingdom influence, and forward the reformation of society and the discipling of nations. Reformation of society. We're supposed to reform society. They're not supposed to reform us. So, Dr. Maliki, why don't you comment on that?
Yeah, well, I believe that that is very, very crucial. The Bible clearly tells us that we are the light of the world. And since we're the light of the world, we need to bring the life of Jesus Christ and manifest it wherever we are and in many, many places. Because if we do not, as the church, then we allow a darkness to creep in. Like the Bible says that, you know, a light that is placed on a hill cannot be quenched or put out. And so as a church, we need to come in and bring the culture of Jesus and bring the kingdom. I believe that in this dispensation we are living in, we are in at the kingdom dispensation, where God is restoring the kingdom of God in the nation and wherever we are. And so when we begin to understand kingdom, then we go past some of the things that probably like our ethnic, you know, our culture backgrounds, and we take up what Christ has called us to be in this generation and in this time, and that is to be the church of Christ and the light in the darkness.
Well, that's absolutely correct. In Uganda today, what would you say is the major problem?
I think that in Uganda today, what we need is that, and what we are seeing is the revival. We need God to revive the church and bring it back to the place that he has ordained the church to be. But in many instances, we find that the church is failing because there are a lot of other things that are crippling and fighting against the faith of the people. The people in Uganda are really great believing people that love God. Because when we look at Christianity in incest carries a very, very big position in the population of the nation as one of the biggest Christianity together when we look at it on the religious angle. And the born-again Pentecostal churches carry up to around another big percentage, but not as big as the others. But we see that when the church rises up and comes in, it will be able to grow and have its impact. But a lot of social issues affect the ability of the church and making the impact that it has to make. Because many of the people that are really committed and have given their lives to Christ much and are desiring to see change, many of them are crippled by many things that affect their lives and affect our lives so much. And because of that, their ability to engage effectively is hampered, yet spiritually they are on fire to do what God wants them to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're in a situation I'm finding all over the world. I travel to the nations. I just came back from Bogota, Colombia, South America. I led a four-day conference for 150 churches and leaders, apostles. Met with the Israeli ambassador the next day. From Israel to Bogota. And I prophesied 5 years ago when I was in Bogota, Colombia, spoke to 23,000 apostles, that if the church doesn't rise up, if they did not rise up and stop the progression of the New World Order, that they would be ruled by a communist government. They would start to lose their freedom. Economies in Bogota, Colombia, South America would crash. And it would become more and more dangerous. And I flew in, and that's exactly what happened. They have a communist government. Their freedoms are being taken away. It's very dangerous in Bogota. The person that picked me up 20 days earlier was mugged. People are not going to Colombia, South America, because of the situation. The economy is crashing. And so only the church could stop this. I really challenged them for 4 days on God's government and the power of the Holy Ghost and what we need to rise up with his authority, his power, his strength, and turn back this tide of tyranny. Or if they don't stop it, then they'll lose their freedoms permanently. And so we're all through now South America, Central America. We're trying to rise up the church, get into the stadiums. Let the power of Pentecost come down. Let the church be what it's supposed to be, salt and light. The Bible is so clear. If evil men rule, we are persecuted. If the righteous rule, the nation prospers. And that's what's happening all over the world, all over America, the United States. We're suffering right now because of evil leadership. We've got to overturn this leadership, and hopefully we'll have the freedom to do it in the next election coming up in November. Because we are in deep trouble in America. We're in deep trouble around the world. Dr. Edward?
Yeah, I believe that when we look at, especially as we're moving towards the end times, and I believe that the church is moving closer to the end times, there are a lot of things that have been prophesied prophetically that would happen as the church is moving into that time. And I don't believe that they were necessarily prophesied that they should happen, but I believe that they were prophesied that the church should know and see so that the church will rise up and take up its stand and pray. And because if the church rises up to pray, then the church has the ability to steer the nation in the way that it should go and in the direction that God wants the church to go. And my greatest call is for the church to rise up, for the church to find our place and our position again and engage in the authority that God has given unto us, because in that authority we have the power to change and to shift not just only nations, but destinies of a nation, not only leaders, but those that are in authority. Because we have as a church the power to put in, the power to build, the power to plant, the power to destroy as well. And so if we as a church raise up and stand in that authority, then we can change and shift the direction in which our nations are going and bring them back to the heart of God.
Well, every person in the world right now, every Christian, if they're actually in tune with the reality of the situation, if they understand the signs of the times, if they're under an Issachar, they know that persecution is increasing in all nations for the believers because of weak leadership. You know, Christians across the globe are coming under the threat of an Antichrist spirit that is opposed to everything that represents God and his government. Now, you get, according to Revelation 12, the government of nations is influenced by Satan through evil men. You know, we all know the story. Satan led a rebellion against the government of God in heaven, was exiled to earth, where Adam failed to cast him out of the garden and Eve was deceived. According to John 10:10, Jesus warns that Satan and those who serve him come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come that they might have life. So in heaven, the government of God rules, there is peace. On earth, Satan rules through evil men, and Christians are at war. Now, I believe with all my heart in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of our responsibility to be ambassadors. Some people want to pray that Jesus will save them without picking up their cross, without representing him. And you can pray till you die and Jesus is going to resave you. You are his ambassador. Jesus said, go tarry, go wait, go receive my power, my authority before you try to represent me. And then go represent me. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, represent me, be my ambassador. And this is where some people get it wrong. They think they don't have to be his ambassador. They can just pray and Jesus will do their job. He's not coming out of heaven to save anybody. We need to be his ambassador, and through prayer, through power of the Holy Spirit, we need to rise up and turn back evil all over the nations. You know, some people like to quote Daniel, suggesting that he stood in the gap. It's true. So did Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, John the Baptist, Noah, and others. But judgment fell anyway. Population was destroyed in Noah's time, but Noah and his family were saved by obeying God. The nation of Israel was taken into slavery. Daniel himself went into slavery, being taken to Babylon. Even though they all stood in a gap, unless they themselves repented, as the people of Nineveh, the nation fell. God honored Daniel, but he became a leader in Babylon, but Israel was in slavery. What I'm trying to do all over the world, I lead Eagle Saving Nations, we have to understand our part in prayer and our part in being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Occupying, ruling, reigning, taking authority, taking dominion, speaking the truth, putting in righteous leaders. You know, some people like to say, well, God put our leaders into government. Well, I can tell you, God didn't put Joe Biden into government. There is no doubt in my mind. He didn't put the communist, he didn't put Hitler into government, Leo, Lenin, Stalin. He didn't put Mussolini into government. But it goes right back into the times when God warned his servant. You know, they didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. And so we have a choice, and we need to rise up and do what we can to save our nations. Right now, the New World Order is trying to topple every nation. You know, I'm glad for President Museveni that he's coming against a lot of what the New World Order is wanting to do. And so that is that's a great testimony. But all over the world, the church needs to rise up and be an influence. Pray, yes, we're trying to get 2,000 intercessors in every nation on earth. We're also trying to get 200,000 that read my news articles so they can be salt and light, so they can influence their nation for Jesus Christ. Dr. Edward?
Yeah, I believe that one of the things that is very fundamental is for the church to realize the authority that we have, but also to realize what we come against. You know, like the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, very, very clearly to every one of us, when it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it tells us to put on the armor of God. But it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so we realize that we are fighting and dealing with structures that have been put up and are established. And those structures stand. And we cannot just come in without an agenda or without knowing why we are coming in as the church. If we do, then we will fail, because we are fighting a structured battle. And the enemies that we're dealing with have structured and have structures that have been established in the realm of the spirit. And if we don't understand their structures, know how they work, how they have been set up, and how we can deal with them, then we will find ourselves, in a place where we are hit and fail to win the battle that God has already empowered us to be able to overcome them. So as a church, we need to raise up in the authority that God has given unto us and engage. And that means we don't have to be passive, like you've said, but we need to engage. Engage in prayer, engage in the word, engage in building the body and the church, but also engage in going out there to do what God has called us. Because it says it in the book of Romans, you know, that how will they hear unless a messenger has been sent? You know, and how will one be sent unless they've been given a message? We have the message. We have been sent. And therefore, we need to go. And when we go, then they will hear and change and repent. So it's upon us as a church, in the power and the authority God has given unto us, to change the nations and the places where God has placed us, called us, and given a mandate that we should be effective.
Well, I totally agree with that. Again, like I said, I just returned from Bogota, leading 150 churches and apostles. And 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4, you know, you read it, quoted it. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, yeah. Destruction of strongholds. That's the job of the church. We destroy reasons and reasonings of pagan philosophers and their dogmas that nullify the word of God and the facts of the gospel. These fortifications we pull down and demolish. Put to flight the demon powers and alien armies raising the banner of the cross on the field of battle. You know, we cast down imaginations. We demolish all theories, reasonings, and any high system of ethics, religion, mythology, metaphysics, sublime doctrines, or philosophy set forth to divide the knowledge of God that wants to defy it. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We take every thought prisoner and lead it into captivity to obey Christ. Lasciviousness, vain and evil thoughts of all kinds are brought down and made obedient to his laws. This includes any thinking which is contrary to purity, virtue, and righteousness. And having in readiness to avenge all in disobedience, we stand ready to speak the truth, to court-martial any opposing the gospel of Christ after separating ourselves from them. We need to pull down strongholds. We need to do these things, cast down imaginations and bring into captivity. This is, as you said, the job of the church. And a good pastor, Apostle Issachar, will be doing just this and teaching his people to do it. Dr. Edward?
Which is very, very true. And that is a sign, or it gets us to understand the authority that God has given unto us as a church and as a body of Christ, and also to understand the dynamics of what is against us. You know, it clearly says that though we live in the world, we do not war like the world. On the contrary, the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. That's the King James Version of the Bible. So they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And there are many strongholds that have been established that are against the church and the body of Christ. And the strongholds are many times things that linger in the spirit, but also the mindset in which people have been programmed, the mindsets in which people have been, and things that people believe because of their mindset, because of where they are coming from, their past, and what has been believed by their past. And all these mindsets need to be broken and destroyed and pulled down, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. And so this is what God expects us to do. And we must know that we have the power in God to do it. We have the power in God to destroy it. And we must know that God is with us. Like the Lord was speaking to Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1, around verse 9, after the departure of Moses. And he says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." And so God gave Joshua the command that I am with you wherever you are going to go. And he says, be strong. And so God is calling us as a church, come, I'm with you. And wherever you go, I'll be with you. And God has testified this in the many things that he continually does. Like you've been in a meeting with all the apostles. I believe and I know that God performed and worked miracles in those places. And the miracles that God performs are evident that God is still working and God is still doing his work in our lives. As we continue to do ministry, we see tremendous miracles done by God that are a witness that God is working to bring back his people and restore them, and also to emphasize who he is and what he has purposed for the body of Christ.
Amen. Do you find, I'm finding all over the world, people are twisting the gospel, pastors are twisting the gospel, they're taking it way out of context, and where the gospel becomes a very gluttonous, greedy prosperity gospel, instead of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this going on in Uganda too?
It is going on in Uganda too. And I think not only in Uganda, but I think it is everywhere. It's going on in everywhere because there are many that have taken the gospel and twisted it and turned it around. That's why it is important to get more people that are aligned with the true principles of God. To come in and teach the church, to come in and equip the church, to come in and empower the church, so that people will hear and know that what some of them are being taught is not what the truth is, but also listen and hear the truth, so that people will be brought back into the right line with God. One of the problems we have is that with all people that have all these things twisted in their lives, as ministers who come in and pose as ministers, yet are twisting the gospel for their own gain, when the world looks at them, the world cannot differentiate sometimes the true Christians and the false Christians. So until we teach the people and equip them so that people will know what the truth of God is, we may not be able to get them to. And so we need to have people come in to equip and to empower the church of God to become what God has called it to be.
Well, I fully agree with that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've just tuned in, you're watching, listening to the Warning Program. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagle Saving Nations. I have with me Dr. Edward Baliki from Uganda, Kampala, East Africa. And we've been talking about the church and its responsibility. So we're running out of time now. We're closing down. So Dr. Edward Baliki, closing comments.
Closing comments is that I believe that God has called us as a church to stand and to do what he has called us to do. Number one, we need to be the light. And two, we need to be the salt. That means we need to be the hope for the people and the generations that are before us. And as a church, we need to look at the spiritual aspect and let us do the spiritual aspect. Let us empower people spiritually. Secondly, let us empower people with the knowledge that they need to become who God has called them to become. because some of us, God has graced us with the ability to extend our education to higher levels. Can we use that to help others? But thirdly, with the resources, because resources are very, very crucial in bringing the church into alignment where God wants it to be. And so as Christians, let us bring our resources. That's why we need to help those that are in need. Jesus fed those that were in need. Let us feed them. Jesus paid taxes for his disciples. Let us help people out in these ways. But much more, let us build the kingdom of God according to his structure.
Well, that's so very true. Without the kingdom of God being established and built in every nation, tyranny will sweep that nation, poverty will be rampant, and governments will rule in, again, a very wrong way, evil way to control the people. We need to have the church rise up. Once again, you're listening, watching The Warning Program. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. My website is worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. Worldministries.org. Check it out. Join Eagles Saving Nations today. No matter where you are in any country of the world, we need to rise up. The church needs to rise up. We need another great awakening, which is a national repentance, so our nation can be blessed and not cursed. It can be prosper and not come under judgment. Worldministries.org. Once again, worldministries.org. May God richly bless you. This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, as well as Eagles Saving Nations. My website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. Please check it out. See what we do around the world. World Ministries International is apostolic, prophetic. Meet with governments. God gives a word. Send it. Comes to pass. They invite us. And then God speaks further, whether it's in the parliament, or privately. But then we also, Eagle Saving Nations, we're trying to get into the stadiums of every nation on earth. As you know, they're trying to topple every nation. The economies they're trying to crash open borders. They're trying to create this new world order, this one world government. They're trying to bring tyranny to control every person on earth. They're trying to mark every person. And so I was just in Bogota, Colombia, South America. I was there for a four-day conference that I led, 150 churches, apostles, and then I met with the Israeli ambassador to Bogota the next day. But and even he realized what is going on. They are trying to topple the nations right now as we speak. I was in Bogota, Colombia, 5 years ago. I spoke to 23,000 apostles. I prophesied over them. I warned what would happen if the church didn't arise, that they would lose their freedoms. They would have a communist government. The economy would crash. Crime would skyrocket. And that's exactly what happened. The church did not arise. They listened to the warnings like they're listening to the warnings in America. I'm not seeing a national repentance. I'm not seeing the church arise. I'm seeing they just same old. They just listen and continue with their daily lives. But as soon as I got off the plane, they said, Dr. Hansen, we remembered what you prophesied. It has come to pass. We have a communist government, a communist president. The economy has crashed. Skyrocket crime is out of control. My driver was mugged just 20 days before I arrived. And we had 4 days of tremendous meetings. I spoke on the government of God and the power of the Holy Ghost to turn a nation around. And now the church had to arise. Prayer was not going to stop it. You cannot just think God is going to intervene in your nation and do your job. Pray for yourself that you can do the will of God. The Bible said, go tarry, go wait, go be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then go do what I did and represent me, represent God, be our ambassador. And we have to do our job. And if we don't do our job, you can pray till you're arrested. We need to pray, but we need to do our job. Pray for yourself that you can do the will of God and you can tear down strongholds. But we need to do our job. We need to be ambassadors. We need to not try to twist the scriptures around and think we can just ask God to do our job. It doesn't work. I have with me Apostle Dennis Moore. He's with me, coming from Texas, Dallas, Texas. Dennis, welcome back to the Warning Program.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's always good being with you, Dennis. I just did a program with a leader in Uganda that you knew very well. And we talked on the responsibilities of the church. I also teased him a little bit. I said, you know, Dennis is going to take you fishing tomorrow. And I said, he hasn't taken me fishing in all the years I've known him.
Well, we're going to have to rectify that.
I think you are. So, now that I put
I have all the gear for you. Don't bring your pole. Don't bring your equipment. I've got everything.
Well, that's what I need, Dennis. I need somebody that has it all. On a side note, Dennis also has a nice little BMW sports car. And let me tell you, I won't tell you Dennis's age, but he can drive that thing like a teenager. Dennis?
Well, you're giving away all my secrets.
Okay, praise the Lord. Well, Dennis, I know that you and I, we have a lot in common because we both love the Bride of Christ so much. We like to move with the anointing of God. We like to move with Pentecost. I always say that, you know, I bring revival. I move in revival. Revival's in me. And so people want to pray for revival. Well, revival's in me. We can have revival any day we want it if we draw nigh unto God. And we need to move with revival. We need to move with Pentecost. We need it constantly, daily. We filled with the Holy Ghost. Dennis?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you're so absolutely correct because we are called to bring the kingdom wherever we go. It's all about being instant in season, out of season. I think one of the great challenges for the church is sometimes we feel like we're anointed and sometimes we just feel really not like we're anointed. But scripturally, we're called to stay the course. We're called to stay in prayer. We're called to stay close to the Lord. And, you know, my daily practice is God, transform me into your image. Change me into your image. Let me carry your word. Let me carry your spirit. Let me carry, your message. Let me be, like you said, you know, the carrier of revival. Let us be those revival fire people.
Amen. I believe that with my whole heart that, the body of Christ is supposed to move with Pentecost, move with revival. And that's the problem, Dennis, is the body of Christ is not moving with Pentecost. I mean, half the churches in America, they're under, as we've said it before, the Federal Council of Churches. That's a communist covering, mainline churches that deny the power of God. They deny sin. They back abortion, homosexuality. They don't know what the power of God is. They deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said it so clearly, don't even try to go into ministry without it. He told his disciples and others, hey, don't go out until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need my power within you to represent me. You can't do it on your own. And yet, half of the churches and their pastors filled with vanity are trying to do it on their own. You know, I believe, Dennis, they are grieving the Holy Spirit.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to a young man who's studying to be a pastor, and he was telling me that I believe the gifts have passed away. I believe the power gifts have passed away. And I said, well, let's say we went to Pakistan and you preached a great message, 100,000 people, and a couple of thousand people come forward and receive Christ. That'd be a pretty exciting experience, wouldn't it? And he said, yeah, it would be. I said, well, what if we were to be in that same place and we begin to minister in the power of the Spirit and the blind eyes begin to open? Crippled people begin to walk, arms begin to grow out, signs, wonders, and miracles. I said, how many people do you think would get saved? And I said, it's going to be in the tens of thousands, not the hundreds. And it's so critical for us to work with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I didn't come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the power and demonstration of the Spirit.
You know, Jesus said, go tarry. Go tarry until you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you will be able to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, confront evil. Yet, people aren't doing it. And we are not seeing people healed, demons screaming to come out, the dead being raised. We are not seeing power and authority. We're not seeing evil being confronted. Because you to confront evil, you need to have the power of God in you to overcome fear and intimidation. And so consequently, the church, especially in America, is becoming as evil and corrupt as our government. Dennis?
Well, it's a sad story. I was talking to another gentleman a while back, and he was a corporate, I believe he was a CEO, I don't remember exactly, but involved in the corporate world. And we were talking back and forth on an airplane, and I said, you know what the problem with America is? And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, we don't fear God. And he said, you're so right. You are so right. And he was stunned because he woke up to the fact that we are not a God-fearing nation. And yet we ought to be absolutely aware of the God that we serve, an all-consuming fire, a God of immeasurable love, immeasurable mercy, immeasurable compassion. And yet we are held accountable unless we receive him and receive the gift of eternal life because of his great sacrifice on the cross, taking our place and becoming that living sacrifice that took up all of our sins. And it's through that receiving of him that we become transformed, and then being baptized in the Spirit, we receive power, as God told his disciples. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes and you receive power. Then be witnesses into all the earth. And so we have a great commission. We have a great calling, and we have a great God. But we sometimes take for granted that which we have. And it's so critical for the church, like you're saying, for the church to wake up and say, man, we really need to put the kingdom first. It says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, the four, if we want to say R's or vision of the church, one is restoration of the church. I believe we need to restore the church to the mission and method of the way Jesus and the apostles led it. We are not doing that for the majority of the churches in America today. To restore the church to the mission and method of the way Jesus and the apostles led it. I mean, that's a church that's powerful, that's anointed, that casts out demons, that heals the sick. But that's what we need to do, Dennis.
You know, you're absolutely right. And just like I was sharing with this young man who's studying to be in the ministry, once I talked to him about the example of, let's say we were in Pakistan and we have a good word, but we're going to see much more results if we demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. And he looked at me and said, you know, my mind's not made up. He was really beginning to rethink his theology because a powerful church is a church that moves in power with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come through our wisdom. Thank God, you know, God gives us insight, understanding. Yes, we do need to be wise in sharing the gospel. I'm not saying we're not to be wise, but what I'm saying is the ultimate sign that God cares and he loves and he has compassion, he has mercy. The ultimate sign is when he begins to move, when he begins to demonstrate, and when he begins to reveal himself.
Very good. You know, the second R, reconciliation between ethnic leaders and churches. I mean, this is so clear all over the world. I mean, the church is divided by tribal lines, so to speak. You could take countries in Africa, tribalism rules, and they'll vote for their tribe member no matter if they know he's a witch doctor, if he's a notorious killer. They don't seem to care. It's tribe over gospel. In America, it's more racism, so to speak. I mean, we'll vote for the color of skin sometimes, not always. I mean, but we have to, again, reconcile between ethnic leaders and churches. Forget the color of skin. Forget the tribe. Forget the race. Vote for the best person that represents Jesus.
And that's, you know, I agree 100%. And, you know, I'm amazed sometimes when I talk to people and I say, who are you voting for? And they'll say, well, I'm voting for this individual. And that individual will be somebody who you know is supporting things that are against the word of God. They may be supporting abortions. They may be supporting all kinds of stuff. And we as believers, it's critical for us to look at what a person believes more than what he says. What is he actually going to do once he gets into office? What is his actual purpose? And by all means, you know, let's be cognitive of the people who are believers who have the true kingdom, the true values of God in them. And we want to support them. My wife and I, we go to meetings here in Dallas. We meet with some of the people running for governor. We meet people running for the Senate. We meet all kinds of people. They're involved in the political world. And every time we meet with them, we say, can we pray for you? And I've never had one not say, oh, I want you to pray for me. They all respond, yes, please pray for me. And then often, if I feel directed, I'll say, well, can I send you follow-up messages as the Lord gives them to me for you? And they all say yes. And there's, you know, godly people want godly help. They want encouragement. They want to know that godly leadership in the church is standing with them and behind them. We worked in D.C., as you know, Dr. Hansen, many, many years. And I can't tell you how many times leaders in D.C. said, pray for me, pray for me. Every time we got around them, oh, pray for me, pray for my family, pray for me, pray for what we're doing, pray for what we're dealing with. And then, you know, one of my friends said to me one day, said, you know, that I talked to a lot of the leaders in D.C., and they're amazed. They asked, why don't more pastors come and support us? Why don't more come and pray for us? Why don't more pastors become and come and encourage us? And he said to these leaders in D.C., these congressmen and senators, he said, they're afraid of you. Now, there's no reason for us as men and women of God to be afraid of our leaders. We need to be bold. We need to be honest. We need to be truthful. And we need to share with them our encouragement, our love, our prayers, our support.
I totally agree. It's our responsibility. Either we rule, the Bible says, either the righteous rule, occupy, rule, reign, take dominion, be salt, or they rule. If we rule, there's prosperity. If they rule, there's poverty. If we rule, there's justice. If they rule, there's tyranny. Dennis?
Well, you put it very, very clear. And that's a clear word, and it's absolutely correct. And so, we have to be the salt. We have to be the salt and the light, and we have to make our voices known. My daughter-in-law just got back from D.C. They spent several days praying with senators, praying with people in Congress, praying over the Supreme Court, spending time, investing their money like you were saying, you know, you've got to be feet on the ground. You've got to be activated. You've got to have just not just faith, but faith with works, because faith without works is dead. And so when we're, like you said, you know, when we're praying, praise God, we want to pray. We want to spend those long periods of time with the Lord. We want to hear his heart. We want to hear his heart cry. We want to agree with him. But then we want to, like you say, be activated and be in the community. And be, supporting those people who are really laying down their lives to help our nation. We have a lot of people, praise God, in our nation. They're still seeking to do God's work. They're still seeking to bring truth and revival and healing and wholeness to our nation. And so I would encourage anyone, you know, that hears your message to say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? Here am I. Send me. I'm ready to go. I'll go and knock on the door. I'll go and encourage somebody. I'll go and to D.C. and pray for my senators and pray for my congressmen. God wants to do more through your life than you can imagine. Before the foundations of the earth, he had appointed you to do the works that he wants you to do.
And it is our responsibility. That is the Great Commission, that we need to disciple our nation, go make disciples of the nations around the world. So we have that responsibility. We're supposed to, three, revive the church to expand kingdom influence. You know, God told Samuel when they rejected him, he said, "Hey, Samuel, they did not reject you. They rejected me to have king." So, I mean, people put leaders in the government, not God. God did not put Lenin. He did not put Stalin. He did not put Mussolini. He did not put Hitler. He did not put Caesar. He did not put Biden. People put them in. And so that's what God said very clearly. They rejected me, not you. And so people aren't looking to God and putting in righteous leaders. They're not reviving the church to expand kingdom influence. They're not ruling, reigning, occupying, being salt. We have turned it over to evil men, and we are suffering from those choices of rejecting God. Dennis?
Well, you're correct, and sad to say that we have rejected the Lord as a nation. And that's one of my greatest prayers is, God, help us to restore you as the father of our nation. Help us to once again see you as our father, to see you as the one who is loving us, caring for us, pouring out your life for us. You know, we're in a battle. That's the bottom line. We're in a battle. This is a time of war. And we need to hear the sounds of heaven. We need to hear the sounds of the battle cry, because there is a battle cry. There's a trumpet blasting in the spirit. And we need to be able to hear those sounds. We need to be able to agree with God, because God wants to use every single believer. I've had people come to me over all the years I've been going around the different nations around the world. And people come to me and they say, "Could God ever use me?" And I say, "Do you love people?" "Oh, I love people." "You're totally qualified. If you can love people, if you can care for people, we've got all kinds of people." I have one young man came to me one time. And he said, I just like to do something for God." I said, "Okay, how about you working in our school in Uganda?" And so he went. And for about 8 months, he worked in our school, and the kids fell in love with him. He was a musician. He was just full of energy and life and love for the kids. And he became like a little fire in the midst of our school. And God used him. And he came back, and he was so blown away by how God used him. But I just want to encourage people, step out, ask God to show you where the door is, go to the door. There's so many hurting people in the world today. And there's so many people that are waiting for someone to come and share God's love and share God's word with them. And be one of those. Be one of those who says, "Lord, I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to step out of my limitations, and I'm willing to step into a greater dimension of you and your love and who you are. And I want to touch people with your love and your word."
Very good. The fourth R, again, the fourth R vision, reformation of society and the discipling of nations. Reformation of society. We're supposed to change society. They're not supposed to change us. When they're changing the church into alternate lifestyles and sins of abomination, then we are failing. It's like Adam failed to cast Satan out of the garden and Eve was deceived. The church is failing in America, and it seems like society is reforming the church instead of the other way around. Dennis?
Well, you know, it's sad to say there's a lot of truth in that, but when you're in the presence of God, and I'll tell you, there's nothing like spending quality time with him. And Jesus gave us the perfect example. It says he went and he prayed all night. He went and he spent time with the Father. He just kept pressing in, even though he had this tremendous workload of ministering to the nation. And yet he continued to press in. He continued to find the heart cry of God. And the church needs to have that heart cry. You know, the Bible says in Revelation, the Spirit and the Lord says, come. Well, you know, the Spirit is crying out, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. But are we crying out, come, Lord Jesus? And there needs to be a cry inside of us that says, Lord, we have to have you. You know, I think someone told me the other day, they said, you know, you don't see the miracles that we see in our country. And I said, why is that? Why do you think you see miracles that we don't see? He says, because we're more desperate. We're desperate for God. We press into God. We have to depend on the Lord. We can't go see the doctor. We don't have the money. We can't go and get the medication. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to press in. And so we see a lot more miracles than you see. We see a lot more signs and wonders than you see. I think we as a church need to become desperate. We need to become eternity focused, not temporal focused. We need to become so desperate that we can't live without him. We can't exist without him. We can't take our next breath without him. We have to be desperate for him, and we have to be desperate for God to move. You know, if we as American believers, if we will cry out for our universities, we're just beginning to see a move of God's Spirit in Alabama, another move of God's Spirit in Florida. I'm hearing about a move of God's Spirit here in Texas at A&M. We want to pour gasoline on the fire. If there's a little fire, then Dr. Hansen, let's pour some gas on it. Let's pour the fuel on it. Let's cry out. Let's cry out for the heavens to open and for the glory to come down.
I agree. We want to pour the Holy Ghost on them. That's the gasoline we want to pour, is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know that since April 2020, 25 dreams, civil unrest, civil war, and an invasion. That's what I've got. 25 dreams since April 2020. Civil unrest, we've seen it. Antifa, BLM, Hamas protest, civil war. We are on the verge of it, right on the verge of real bullets. That's what I'm being told. We are on the verge of it. We are so divided, and there's so many states coming against the federal government, especially in trying to stop this illegal invasion. They know it's nothing but crime. It's nothing but to take over America and retain power. They know it's to topple our values and beliefs. And an invasion, well, 10 to 15 million people, I think that's classified as an invasion. And so we are on the verge. You said, why are these countries seeing miracles? Because they're in desperate need. Yes, I hope we don't have blood to flow before we get desperate. I know in Bogota, they're desperate now. Now I have a board of advisors, apostles for Eagle Saving Nations, because they're desperate. Because everything I said came to pass 5 years ago. They got their communist government. They're desperate. And I prophesied, if we don't change it now, they're going to reinforce communism and you'll never get your freedom back. They're desperate, Dennis. Do we have to see blood flow to get that desperate? We can say no, and we know technically it's no, but I don't know, Dennis. I think we're going to see a lot of death before we get desperate. Dennis?
Well, that's a hard reality, and it's not easy to contemplate. But honestly, I think those of us who are aware of what's going on, we know that we're at that point. We know that we're in a desperate point. I can think of so many instances throughout history where God intervened, where it was a desperate time. Even when the British came in and they took over the White House and D.C. was taken over by the British, a massive storm came in and it so disrupted the British that they left. And there was a deliverance. God brought a deliverance. God is able to bring us deliverance.
Amen.
He's able to spare us. And, you know, I think when you have a prophetic word like you just gave, I think that word is a call to prayer. It's a call to action, but it's also a call to prayer. It's called to repentance.
We need to pray. We're out of time. We need to repent. People stood in the gap, but without repentance, judgment fell anyway, and they all went into slavery. Eagle Saving Nations, worldministries.org, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. Join us today. We need a national repentance, and only the church can usher it in. God bless you. Shannon?
Hey, this was a great set of interviews today. Folks, every week you can tune into more with Dr. Jonathan Hansen of World Ministries International right here. Brother Hansen, how can a person make contact with you in the ministry and support your work?
Well, I hope people, you call 360-629-5248, 360-629-5248 once again, 360-629-5248. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, PayPal. You could donate on our website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. Once again, worldministries.org. Website, you could also give by Zelle. The reference number is warning@worldministries.org. That's warning@worldministries.org. Once again, warning@worldministries.org. If you want to write a check, address it to WMI on the check, WMI. Send it to P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. Again, address it to WMI. Send it to P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. That's P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. Join Eagle Saving Nations, people. I'm telling you, we're going to lose America if we don't have another great awakening, a national revival. I believe that Trump will win the next election. I believe he's like a Jeroboam II. But yet, if you read it, Trump is not an Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln called for national repentance. He called for fasting and prayer. And he named America's sins. Trump doesn't seem to care about alternate lifestyles. He doesn't come against it. Homosexuality. He's far better than Biden, but Trump is not going to stop judgment. We need to understand that. He needs to change his attitude, call for America to repent, or judgment is going to fall anyway under Trump. He'll just delay the republic toppling a little bit. But you're going to see millions of people die. Ladies and gentlemen, help me get into the stadiums. We need to have Pentecost come down again. That's what the stadiums is all about, Eagle Saving Nations, to get Christians into the stadiums. So the power of God can come upon them and they can go out with power and authority like Peter. Peter, before Pentecost, was fearful. He lied. He hid. But after Pentecost, he was brave. People are not being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if they were baptized, most of them don't exercise that daily, that baptism. So they're flames of fire. In fact, their flyer's gone out. And normally they're a dead swamp, even though they say they're baptized. So we need another great awakening. We've got to have Pentecost. Join Eagle Saving Nations, 360-629-5248 or worldministries.org. Shannon?
Amen. Right on target with what you said. My brother, love and appreciate you over there at World Ministries, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for the great broadcast. God bless you. Okay, folks, stand by. We're going to set up for our next program. We've got Lena Adamaleche and Mark Shine coming up next. Let me save this. We'll be right back.